Oi, lads, did you miss out on the Jaren's Outpost Kickstarter and wish you weren't such a big doofus? Well, fear not. Late pledges are now open and they'll be open for a little while. So just head to Kickstarter, search for D&Ds for Nerds or Jaren's Outpost and slam that late pledge button.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
Although you see no water for miles around, you are, like us, marooned. You're stranded in this sad and lonely place called Barovia. To mix metaphors, we are incarcerated. The fog that surrounds us are the bars of our dungeon, and Baron von Strahd is our jailer. As far as I can tell, there is only one way out, and that is to kill Devil Strahd.
Strahd! With a loud sound, both of you watch from different angles as the portcullis slams shut. A cheer goes through the attackers, and you watch as the defenders throw themselves against the portcullis. They are immediately outnumbered, and the attackers just mince them.
Well, I'll start heading back to Hector then.
Look towards where we had to go. Look towards the Burgermaster. We should probably wait for reinforcements, because I hear it's dangerous to go alone. Right, Ludmilla, vampire. Right, yeah, vampires. What do I know about vampires?
First things first, radiant damage, probably your best bet. They can't be poisoned. You know that non-magical attacks probably aren't going to do a lot. Necrotic damage might also be, they might not be outright immune, but they are certainly resistant.
Gotcha.
Ludmilla specifically, I mean, vampires are a gamut. There's a lot of different types of vampires, and they can have a lot of different specialties and stuff like that. But Ludmilla seems, has always struck you as being less of a frontline fighter and more of a spellcaster is where she focuses her efforts. So you don't think, well, there is a baseline. So all vampires are pretty devastating when they get their claws into you. But you think comparing Ludmilla to someone like a Gogash, while they both have vampire powers, Ludmilla doesn't have a Gogash's muscles.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
That makes sense.
Yeah. You get your baseline, whatever they were before vampirism, with vampirism on top.
All right. So I guess, while we're waiting for Pirin and
John
Cavendish to, like, and the goons.
Can't forget the goons.
Come on, boss. You need me to do something?
Hang on. Wait a second.
We'll be there in a moment.
I got the beast in my sights.
All right, wait for them. Right, okay, so basic vampire. We're like, rattle off, like, you know, radiant magic. Rah, 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 rah. Almost like a maybe, I don't know, maybe Hector wants to be praised by. Anyway,
this is getting real.
Where's
weird.
This going?
And then just like just those the basic kind of like vampire stuff, and then just and Ludmilla is a she's a spellcaster, right?
Ludmilla is indeed a powerful spellcaster, perhaps to rival myself. Though our specialties lie in different fields, I am a more classically trained spellcaster, shall we say? Whereas Ludmilla prefers experimentation.
Yes, you've seen a few of them.
She will have many tricks we will not have seen before.
So chances are, did we see any of the the automatons, the automations in the main hall or the big fight or anything like
there
that?
There were a handful, but not all of them.
All right, right, right.
Yeah,
right.
There's still some unaccounted for.
Yeah, of course. I was just wondering if we'd like, if it was like, it's weirdly, they were quite absent.
There's not a single one. All waiting in one room.
One location.
No.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, you've seen a few of them.
A few?
Yeah, but not.
Like more than 10 or less
than
10? Okay, fair enough. Then,
You wanted to spend, you all reconvene. If you wanted to spend more time, you could pick them in the crowd and count them.
Nah. It'd be like, right, Ludmilla, I grab the map and be like, Ludmilla, it would just be down there. We know there's should be surrounded by guards, probably more of the automations and for the engineer. I suppose if he would have whatever he's controlling them, if we could try and either
get that out of his hands, destroy it, whatever it's got to be.
I don't know if that would stop them outright, or perhaps it would just cause them to follow their last command, as it were.
Yeah.
But
then no more commands can be made, so
she is a vampire, So do you have anything that we want to do before?
I crack open a manual to monster. Let's consult the flow chart, shall we?
I start rubbing my snout.
Does the Dracula live outside?
Didn't we go out there this before? A cold, right? She's cold?
Yes.
Like skip the end. Like, we've been
chilly places.
Chilly places.
I would say she spends most of her time inside.
Yeah, well, if she spends most of her time inside, then she's a city places vampire, which means she can become rats and teleport. If she's a chilly vampire, she can turn into a big tiger, fears fire, but is also immune to fire. What an idiot!
No, we know this one. She's immune to. She fears fire.
Yes, but she is immune to it.
No, all right. But we used this on her before.
That's true. Okay.
And in Selenka Pass, yes, she's a chilly place.
She's vampire. a chilly vampire. That's right. She's left the house before.
That's all it takes. Yeah, great.
Well, yeah, that's the point of the flow chart.
Outside, like, kind of like in the wilds.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-mm.
But yeah, but in Selenka Pass, you use fire and it scared her off. So.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Perhaps we prepare for both possibilities, that she might become a rat, or many rats, or that she might transform into a tiger.
Is there overlaps, or is it just...
The text is...
She ran away from the fire before, so it...
Yeah, well, just because you're a city vampire doesn't mean you don't fear fire, necessarily. Plus, these aren't traditional Draculas, really, that we're dealing with.
I want to just stare off into the middle distance.
Traditional what?
I thought we went over. Okay. All right. Well, is there anything we need to do? Radiant, right?
Radiant damage, absolutely.
Fire, perhaps?
Fire, perhaps, rats, could help. Well, you know, rats will die to anything. A Dracula cannot enter moving water lest it be burned by said water as if it were coming from an acid factory. A Dracula pierced through the heart by wood cannot move, though this will not actually hurt the Dracula. And finally, and most importantly, a Dracula cannot be touched by sunlight lest they burn to a crisp. That's not really going to happen to us. Yeah. Beware its whisper. If it says anything to you, try to ignore it.
Should we be blocking our ears? Is that what we need to do?
Might be worth doing, if we have any manner of blocking our ears.
I don't know if you've brought any.
No, not really.
Wad up some cotton.
Yeah.
Bits of cloth.
Highs or lows?
Highs.
You know what, Pip? You do have some wax.
Oh, great. I pull out, maybe for stopping bottles, you know?
Yeah.
All right, I pull out the wax and try and distribute it as evenly as possible so that we can block our ears upon entering the lair. Like you said, they can resist mental damage, ignore chilly, necrosis, poisoning, mundanity, charms, tiredness, fear, and stunning. Holy symbols, garlic around the neck, obviously, can weaken the Dracula in an attack. And then the other ones that I said before.
Okay. So yeah, my hand, start like playing with the Penny's son. Just
yeah.
Okay, so.
Yeah, I mean, other than that, whatever she was beforehand will give her some ability. I mean, she was spellcaster or something.
Some sort of mage.
Yeah. So, you know.
Do you have anything for, I don't know, to silence her or to...
I mean, I can try and concoct something.
Do we have a stake?
I'm sure someone has a stake.
Snap a leg off.
Just gesture to, like, the broken table or whatever.
Someone would have brought a stake.
Maybe I'll snap, just so that everyone has one. If there's chairs in this room... Sure. Snap the chairs off, and then with somebody's blade, make some really rough stakes.
Okay.
Look at the map. Is there only one entrance into her office?
Other than the teleportation circle, yes.
Right. So are we going in guns blazing? Should we send a gesture to the tiefling? Piran?
Send Piran in first.
I feel like at this point she knows well and good we're coming. I don't think I'm going to be able to sneak into that room.
Fair enough. Okay. From the tip
I'll
of the
handle
spear.
Ghosts, but I draw the line at a suicide mission.
Right, I guess I'll form the tip of the spear. We'll head in. We don't know what we'll find. Ludmilla, the engineer.
Yeah.
Piran, when we go in there, if you can, I think perhaps you should go to the engineer first and try to persuade him to not use the automons on us.
Don't kill him.
Don't kill him.
I won't kill him. Persuade him to turn his little toy soldiers off.
You're very good at that.
Sure. I mean, yeah.
While we're all focused on. Right, anyway. Alphonse Tibespierre, Cavendish.
Cavendish takes out that ceremonial looking spear. You see, you notice for the first time, this is, you, if it weren't for the fact that you've seen him just win a bunch of fights, you might be like, I wish you had a real weapon.
Yeah.
But you realize for the first time that his spear, the point, the tip, is removable.
Oh, hell yeah, okay, that works.
Cool.
For whatever reason, maybe for maintenance or something like that, it's removable. You see the purpose of it. Mm. When it is removed, it can be used as a dagger, quite obviously.
Oh, that's cool.
So you immediately see why it can be removed. He puts it back on the end of his spear.
Okay. Right. The rest of the, like, Bigfoot Paul and that, they're doing fine now, yeah?
You can see, they've, by the time that you're ready to move on, you can see Bigfoot Paul on his own has picked up the portcullis and is helping people get underneath, they're swarming their way in now.
Fantastic. Sweet. Perfect.
All right, well, let's go.
Like the present.
All right. Oh, we tip of the spear. Right. So Cavendish, and next to him, Eleanor Tomac, Burgemaster.
Eleanor.
Tomac next to him. And then
I'll keep up the rear.
You and Piran on the rear. Yep. Maybe we'll get the mooks next.
Yeah, okay. The mooks up the back, you mean?
Sure thing, boss.
Mooks, tip of the spear.
Okay.
Actually, yeah, two.
I got the beast in my sights.
It's just so funny, because genuinely, you probably wouldn't want to do the mooks in the front, right?
Yeah.
They're just mooks, but right at the moment, they're just mooks, but they're annoying. That's
yeah, exactly. Get rid of them.
I want to be at the front of the spear.
That is the characters you have created thus far. The callous, uncaring, unfeeling sort of monsters who will sacrifice people.
I know.
They've been using crossbows yet.
Yeah. Yeah. No, the mooks will stay up the
back.
They
have crossbows and swords.
I think
they can
keep the mooks up the back with me and Perrin.
Yep.
And basically,
when we head in, boss.
When we head in, we'll fan out around the sides, and we can provide support while you go in for the main attack.
We'll do that.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go.
So the double doors are closed.
Mm-hmm.
You attempt to open them and find them barred from the other side. There appears to be some heavy wooden slat in the way.
Okay. Mm. Can we get a sword in between the doors and flip the bar?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could try that. Yeah. It's clever. Get a good boy card.
Yeah. Oh.
It works.
Hell yeah.
You push the doors open just enough that you can slip a sword through and wedge it upwards, forcing the latch open and allowing you to explosively enter the room.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing you see as you enter the room is that, like in the foreman's office, there is a effect upon the far wall that allows someone standing in this room to see into the abattoir, but does not allow someone in the abattoir to see in.
Cool.
Yep.
You can see that there are two desks in this room. One of them is the large main desk, obviously Ludmilla's desk, and it's covered. The place is a mess. It's covered with all of Ludmilla's sketches and workings and other odds and ends from different experiments of hers. There's a cage in one corner where a zombie tries in vain to get out.
No.
You can see there is an entire wall taken up with different body parts that keep moving of their own accord. Some of them, you can see there's something, a mechanism, an obvious mechanism powering the arm or the leg or sometimes the head.
Mm-hmm.
Heads would have their tongues removed and they are trying to scream but failing.
Horrible, horrible stuff.
Yucky. Yeah.
In addition to that, you can see that there is just past the desk, the summoning circle. On the summoning circle, you see, right as you enter, someone has stepped through the summoning circle and left the room. Near the summoning circle is, you know, do you remember in the first new season of Doctor Who, where there's the last human being and it's that woman stretched out? So that, except it is your horse.
Orion.
Orion is, as if Orion had no innards, has been stretched across like a canvas. Orion, at first you think you're looking at a corpse, and then Orion blinks.
Oh, my God. This is, what has she done to you?
Well, you don't have a lot of time to consider that. Additionally, in the room, I said there was another desk.
Mm-hmm.
That other desk, it feels like a child's desk compared to Ludmilla's, but it is similarly messy. There's lots of papers and notes and odds and ends there. Kneeling near it is a halfling. Mm-hmm. The halfling wears a very flamboyant outfit with a huge beret with a big plume of feathers sticking mm-hmm. out of it. Mm-hmm. He is on his hands and knees. Oh, and you spot as well, both of his hands look like some sort of mechanical design. They're not hands. They're like, mechanical devices, which you see as he's kneeling on the ground. He has all of these little diagrams that he's drawn on the wooden floor here.
Mm-hmm.
As all of this is happening, he's continuing to move from part to part. And every now and then he swaps his hand, spins around, and different tools replace it until finally it lands on just a simple little holder that has a piece of chalk.
Mm-hmm.
And he continues drawing his little diagrams. The first thing that happens is he looks up at you and he says, "Don't disturb my circles."
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a lot of time to consider him, though, because in this room are 6 automatons, plus the guy who got away before, plus Ludmilla. Ludmilla, looking at you as you barge in, "How rude." And then we go to initiative.
Okay, who baby? This is a busy room.
Yeah.
Very busy room.
Are you going to put your horse out of its misery?
I do feel there is, it really does feel sometimes that Hector really does need to dip into barbarian.
Yes, yes, yes. It truly does.
Like, there's just a lot of rage.
Sometimes he needs to rage.
Pent up right
now. I could not agree more.
I understand that, like, hey, this little halfling is part of this,
it's part of the web of destiny.
It's always that one away. And this person did that, presumably, with the help of that.
Yeah, you would imagine.
Maybe, I don't know.
Maybe he dies today.
Maybe we just take out a lot of bad people.
Yeah. How strange do you want your bedfellows to be?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's a real question. That's a real conundrum.
All right. Piran's first.
Okay.
Piran. Excuse me. He makes his way from behind you, Hector, mm-hmm. and Pip,
yeah.
to in front of you. Oh, no, he was in line with Pip.
Yeah.
Never mind. He makes his way from the back right up to the front, slipping past you deftly. Mm-hmm. He keeps saying, "Excuse me, sorry, pardon me."
Yeah.
But he actually doesn't touch anyone as he agilely slips past you. The engineer is immediately to your right as you step into the room, with just past him in a V formation. It's those 6 automatons with Ludmilla at the head, right behind her desk. And the guard, kind of like a sore thumb, almost like he wasn't meant to be in this encounter, is just off to one side.
Yeah.
Piran slips past all of this, picks up the engineer, and you hear he sits the engineer down on the desk and says, "Don't turn them on." The engineer flips his arm around, which a bunch of different tools spin around, and then it stops on a little nozzle.
Mm-hmm.
"I said, don't disturb my circles." Oil.
Oh, no.
Spits onto Piran.
Okay.
That's exactly what he says. "Well, that's just not cricket," he says. All right, that's Piran's turn. He attempts an intimidation check, and he fails.
Yeah.
This little guy's immune to that. It's Ludmilla's turn.
Oh, fuck.
She casts a spell, uttering a few arcane words, and then finishes it with a snap. When she snaps her fingers, she disappears.
Fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That was Ludmilla. It's John Cavendish's turn. All right, then. He takes a few steps into the room. He looking back at you, Hector. "I'll handle the right-hand side."
Sure. Piran, belay the last thing I said about the halfling. We don't need him alive.
Okay.
Okay.
We don't need him alive?
No.
Is there's nothing hidden behind that?
No.
Rock and roll.
I wasn't expecting that. All right.
Seeing the horrors.
Yeah. Okay.
Interesting. Okay. Well, John Cavendish levels his spear, and Hector, you have a brief enough window to see etched in the side of the weapon are the words, "The guard dies but does not surrender." And then, crack! Everyone in the room jumps a little bit, except John Cavendish. The end of his spear explodes.
What the fuck?
Then he lowers it down very quickly from a pouch, reaches out, produces a small metal ball, puts it in one end of the spear, and crack! 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 Loud noise after loud noise after loud noise, and smoke belches out of the end of his spear. He hits three times. You know what? He fires six times.
Whoa. Fucking hell.
Two more hits, but both of them are critical, so I'll figure that out in just a sec.
Jesus Christ.
His first three attacks. Oh, God. Why did I do this to myself?
He's good to have on side.
He's yeah, dude. Eight plus I'm another nine.
He's like good to have on side.
67, and then, all right, two critical hits.
Jesus Christ.
Winded, maximum damage. Okay, that would be a further 27 points of damage. All right, one of the automatons goes down.
Fuck.
Nice.
In one hit. Hell yeah.
Well, in five hits.
But yeah, but still.
One turn.
One turn, Adam. One turn.
Then his second one, quadruple damage. 28 plus. 38. He blows one of them away, and then a second one, he nearly severs an arm completely off. Then he lowers the spear, yeah, grabs one of those ceremonial clubs, crack! To add insult, another critical, to add insult to injury.
What the fuck?
Maximum damage and roll the damage dice again.
Okay. You're rolling so many dice. What the hell?
Cavendish is a good get.
Yeah, he's a great get. Great get. One of the best. Get. We can lose the engineer if we keep Cavendish.
Yeah, he kills another one.
All right.
Fuck yes.
All right. That is Cavendish's turn. Burgermaster's turn. Burgermaster just stands there in stunned silence. Pip, your turn.
Okay. Is there a way for me to hit this group with a flame breath in such a way where... Because it's not a very big room, is it? Like, it's like a room, like, yeah. Like, basically, I'm wondering is, if I were to flame breath where Ludmilla could have gone in that period of time, would I be able to hit an area reasonably where she couldn't have gone beyond since she disappeared?
No.
I would have to take a kind of stab in the dark?
Yeah. It'd have to be a guess.
Well, I've kind of got no other choice.
You could try right behind the desk, assuming she hasn't moved at all.
Yeah.
Or aiming to the left or right.
Okay. From where we are, where's the engineer? What, to our left or to our right?
Immediately to your right.
I'm going to aim left then.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm going to turn around and
stab. Is that to protect the engineer or to protect Piran, who's covered in oil?
I'm hoping that But I'm hoping that if I get fire on her, she'll scream or make some reaction. We'll be able to tell where she is.
Okay. Highs or lows?
Highs.
Highs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lows?
I don't know.
Well, let's say highs then, you bitch.
You bathe did you say left corner?
Yes.
Yeah, left corner in flames. You set, I want to say, some of her instruments alight, but you do not hit her.
Well, she must be to a right or at the desk then, okay? Hey, that's some something. Information.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Does that count as an attack for me?
That's
attack with
one of your attacks?
Okay,
I believe.
Then I'll spin around and with my crossbow, I'll just fire at one of the automatons. Yeah.
What sort of damage do you want to do?
I'll just go acid, maybe.
Acid? Okay, it's a hit.
It's what it's on from before.
You deal 14 points of damage.
Nice. Feels pretty pathetic compared to what we just witnessed, but it's not nothing.
Okay, that was Pip. Your turn. It is the creature's turn.
Shit.
First off, you hear Ludmilla casting a spell. God. She uses a legendary action.
Fuck.
And a ball of flames appears from behind the desk and is hurled at... Oh, no, wait. She's smart enough not to use fire on you. No, instead a ball of flames hits or is hurled at Hector. Hector, a ball of flames strikes you in the chest.
Fuck.
You take 5 points of fire damage.
Okay, it's not too bad. That's nothing, really. I mean, it's something.
He's not done. Come on now.
Maybe it's just that 5 damage, and then we move on. No, that was her legendary action. That was just the entree.
A cool thing she gets to do. Then it's the creature's turn.
Mm.
Pip, you're pretty exposed in the room right now. Two of them attack you. One of them attacks Cavendish.
Okay.
Rip. There. Kill. Miss, miss, hit, hit.
Okay.
Got anything to stop being torn from limb from limb?
Maybe. You know what? We got two. I'll burn one. Missed me. Ignore damage from one attack.
Okay. You take a paltry 15 points of damage.
Nothing.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Okay. One of them just slashes at you. You're backing up, trying to defend yourself. One of them catches you unawares, and a 5 angry deep cuts appear on your shoulder.
Oh, God.
And Cavendish gets hit once as well.
Well, that's just not cricket.
And he picked that up from Piran? I guess he picked that up from Piran. He probably picked it up from Piran's friend, to be honest.
All right, that was the creature's turn. Hector, finally, it's yours.
All right, is Ludmilla now visible?
No.
But you saw where the flame came from.
Cool.
You can take
you
that
know
gamble.
Where she was when she cast the spell.
Yeah. Mm. What can I do damage-wise in a 15-foot radius that hopefully won't...
You can target one...
How many people... What's the max amount of like lads maybe I could get in a 10-foot radius?
Oh, actually, because the guard's here, you could hit the guard and one of one of the creatures attacking Pip.
Mm.
But that's kind of the most you can get. Unless you're counting Piran and the engineer's enemies. Because they're also next to each other.
I'll just, as my action, I guess I'll just Sacred Weapon, Channel Divinity, and then I will get into a better position to help out.
Okay.
That was my turn.
You stand behind Pip, backing him up.
Mm. Thank you.
You feel a little better, Pip.
Yeah.
Okay, it's...
Ooh. Bonus action, yeah. I will cast Wrathful Smite on my weapon. Get it ready for next time.
Nice.
Okay. Go.
Cool. Well, it is the guard's turn. Ludmilla casts Dominate Person.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Pip.
Mm.
You hear the words in your mind. Turn. The crossbow in your hand starts slowly, shakingly turning towards Hector. And soon you can only hear Ludmilla's voice in your head. But before you're able to fire, you need to arm the crossbow.
Yeah.
Looking down at Durak's crossbow, you hear in your head...
Get your head on straight!
Hector, you see as Pip nearly shoots you.
All good.
It's just like, you okay?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
I really want, I guess the listeners can't see this, but when you said all right just now, Jackson gave a thumbs up as Pip, and it would be very funny if this was like lose a hand.
Oh no.
But no, Ragged Scar, you receive a permanent scar on your face. You gain proficiency in charisma intimidation, but lose proficiency in charisma persuasion if you had it.
What happen?
What just happened?
Because the guard hit you with an axe in the face.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Well, you didn't have proficiency in persuasion, but you also didn't have proficiency in intimidation, and you do now.
Okay, fabulous. And a wonderful permanent scar.
That's nice to know.
Maybe along the side of my snout. Like he really copped me in the side of the snout.
Just your crossbow looking towards me. You okay, buddy?
Yeah, I'm fine.
I think everything's okay. From off screen.
Hector, you see that happen. The mooks fire at that guard.
Mook patrol.
Got him, boss. They get 3 hits.
And
the mook took a lot of... the guard took a lot of damage from the Burgermaster earlier. Yeah, he goes down.
Okay.
Not so useless. Yeah, he survived long enough to give you a cool scar.
Yeah.
If only they'd done that one turn earlier. Oh, I forgot to roll the damage for you. You take 4 points of damage.
Okay.
And it's back to Pirin. You've told Pirin, well, you didn't tell him to just kill the engineer. Mm-hmm. You said we don't need him anymore.
Said he don't need him alive.
Don't need him alive, yeah.
Pirin can do what Pirin wants to do.
Yeah. He's torn. He kind of sees... no, I think he sees the engineer as useful, and he hasn't picked up on why you're saying... Pirin looked around this room and was like, engineer.
Yeah.
Nothing else is happening in his head. He grabs the engineer. Actually, you know what? He produces from within a pouch on his belt. He produces a needle that... when you first see it, you're like... puppet. But he sticks it in the engineer. The engineer, why would you do a damn thing like funk? The engineer falls over unconscious.
Okay.
Shut up. Then as Pirin turns around to re-engage in the fight, you both see as he very on purpose steps on one of the circle markings and just...
Good.
Motherfucker. It's Ludmilla's turn.
God damn.
You hear Ludmilla casting a spell and then crack, 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 crack. A lightning bolt hits one of you and then jumps, bouncing around, hitting pretty much all of you.
Oh, good. Okay.
That's
fabulous.
Lovely to hear.
All right. It will stop firing when one of you makes the saving throw.
Okay.
Huh?
First, Pip. Pip, oh, you're so lucky.
Yeah.
Pip, you pass, so it just hits you.
Oh! Thanks, man. Yeah, big another shaky thumbs up, axe to the face, electrocuted in the back.
10, 15, 19 points of damage.
Okay.
Hot diggity daffodil. Okay, 19, cool.
That's a
lot. Nothing.
That's fine. That's
You're on
fine.
25 Breezy. By my count.
Breezy.
Do I want to take that damage?
You kind of want, I know, look at that big,
damage from one location, but.
But you're like, man, maybe you want to wait for a crit. Maybe you want to wait for something.
Yeah, want
like
to wait
really
for death,
like...
I think, is the, yeah.
And then Ludmilla throws a ball of fire as well.
Yeah, she loves doing that.
I'm going to say, Hector, this hurts. Whoa. Dice was excited. You take, 4 points of damage.
It's fine.
You're fine. Walk it off.
Chip damage.
Okay. That was Ludmilla's turn. It's John Cavendish's turn. Ludmilla throws another ball of fire. She misses you.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. All right. And John, he slings the rifle over his shoulder and begins grabbing those ceremonial clubs, which you realize can't be clubs.
Yeah, something else
is going on. Crack! 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 The rifle, he carefully slung over his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
These small clubs, he drops them after he's done with them.
That's so cool.
Crack, 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 crack.
One-use club?
Yeah, he got one-use blow-up-y club.
Oh, shit. He rolled pretty poor. Miss, hit.
Damn.
John Cavendish does, to the one that you've damaged, he does an additional 16 points of damage.
Cool.
And then, having exhausted all of his little club guys, he draws a cutlass, a cavalry saber, actually, I should say. And that is his turn. It's the Burgomaster's turn. She snaps out of it. What the fuck? And then she, at Ludmilla's last location, she hurls a huge ball of energy.
Come on, reveal her.
You hear Ludmilla crying out in pain as flames erupt in all directions. She cries out in pain, then continues screaming in terror.
Okay.
Ludmilla takes 15 points of fire damage.
Sweet.
Oh, wait. No, she doesn't.
Oh. Yeah, she's immune to it.
Yeah.
She's just scared of it. That's right.
Well, at least she's only... Well,
yeah.
Well.
The flames, however, do illuminate her location.
Cool.
So you know where she is. You'll know where she is for one round.
Cool. Great. Okay.
She still hasn't moved. It is Pip, your turn.
All right. Knowing where she is now, I'm going to ignore the automatons around me. Spin around. Plug her twice. I'm going to flip it to fire as well. Even though it doesn't kill her, it scares her.
Sure.
And I'll make them precise shots so they've got advantage.
You will need that. That will counteract the disadvantage that you'd still get.
Beautiful.
Hit miss.
Ah, damn it.
You deal 7 points of damage to Ludmilla. All right. Was there anything? Hmm?
Is Fairy Fire a cantrip?
I believe it's a cantrip, yeah.
Whoa, how'd I do that?
Oh, my God.
I used the good boy card. You cast a cantrip you don't know. Follow the spell's rules.
That'd be so much cleverer if you'd done that before.
Yes, well, I forgot I had it. Yeah. Still.
Anyway.
Just like aiming, shoot. For some reason, yeah. It's a fairy fireball.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe there's like a little extra explosion of magic. A fairy explodes at the end. Thank you, you freed me.
You truly are a hero of the people.
I'm joking. That does not happen. I think literally actual fairy dust explodes out. Maybe Durak didn't clean it properly when he killed a fairy one time or something.
Hell yeah.
Ludmilla is illuminated. Attacks, I don't think attacks against her have advantage, but they no longer have disadvantage, and you now know where she is.
Sweet. Nice.
Okay, well, that was Pip, your turn. It is the automaton's turn.
Mm.
Love saying automaton. And one attacks Hector, one attacks Pip, one attacks John Cavendish. Heck, two hits. Got anything for this?
I mean, maybe. Let's see what happens first.
It's 26 points of damage, Heck. The one attacking you, Pip, hit, miss, miss.
Okay, hey, that's not bad. I keep just getting hit by one of them. I can cop that. And you I am not paying attention to them, so that makes sense.
You take 13 points of damage.
Oh, I'm getting low. Yeah,
It's all right. Yeah. We're still standing.
Yeah.
John Cavendish, hit, miss, hit. He, with that cavalry saber, he's kind of almost dancing with the automaton. He moves very quickly, but the automaton moves so much, inhumanly fast. Mm-hmm. He simply can't keep up, and the creature scores hit after hit after hit on him.
Okay.
His green uniform becomes stained red. Oh. That is the automaton's turn. Hector, it's your turn.
How close am I to Ludmilla?
You are on the other side of a table, and to get to her, you'd take...
A lot of automatons, right.
You take two attacks of all.
I'm a misty step.
Okay. Nice.
To get behind her.
Okay. You teleport behind her. She activates her legendary action.
Oh, man.
Whoomp! She hits you with a thunder wave, except it does no damage, but you have disadvantage to not be knocked back.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
You go flying backwards, Hector.
If I was to ignore the damage, would that stop me?
There's
from...
no damage.
Damn it.
Oof. You are thrown backwards and you hit one of the shelves containing all of a bunch of specimens. An arm flops down onto you and it starts trying to crawl its way across you.
Okay.
It doesn't hurt or attack. It starts moving. Mm-hmm. It has like a automatic, like you know how cockroaches, when the light hits them, they start running, but they don't actually. They actually aren't consciously choosing to do it. It's a reaction.
Yeah. Well, reactionally, I would have grabbed it and thrown it at her or something. I don't know.
The hand, like a wind-up toy, the fingers just crawl it along the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're thrown up against the other wall.
Okay. Well, then can I use the rest of my movement to get to her?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Nice.
That was just annoying.
Yeah. It felt more like a shocked reaction from her.
Yeah. Okay. And then hit her twice.
Okay.
Do it, man.
And can I use careful aim to roll all the attacks with advantage?
Sure. First attack's a critical hit.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, baby.
And the first attack will go off with the.
Vengeful Smite?
Wrathful Smite, which deals psychic damage.
So, first attack's a critical hit. It is Shin Bash. Maximum damage and roll the damage dice again. So 12 plus 5 is 17 plus an extra 7. So 24 points of damage.
Hell yeah.
Nice.
Okay. That's good. We're burning through the good boy cards, but that's good.
All right.
That was your turn, Hector.
And the second hit?
Oh, second hit, of course.
Yeah.
Yes, you deal another 10 points of damage.
Okay.
And then I just want to get right up into a grill.
You slammed into her. She threw you away, but you immediately ran back to her. You can see through the fairy fire, even in the invisibility, you can see there's a bit of panic to her right now.
Yeah. I think I like, yeah. Any of this fight, I don't know if I'll be saying much. I just want to be silent.
No, yeah, you feel, it really feels like you've sort of locked in, as it were.
Mm. Mm. It's the Mooks' turn. A smattering of shots get fired at the wounded automaton.
Okay.
Hit, miss, hit, critical miss.
Ah, the Mooks.
Sorry, boss.
Try again next time. I'll do better next time.
That automaton takes 8 points of damage. All right. And, and a critical miss. Did you check the sofa cushions? This projectile cannot be recovered.
No! Not the Mooks' arrow. He loved that one.
That's like the most important thing the party owns.
Boss, my kid loved that.
What?
That was the Mooks' turn. It's Pirin's turn.
My gift.
Darting in between all the different creatures and fucking shit going on, he saddles up behind the Winded One attacking you, Pip, and he launches himself at it as bodily as he can.
Good on him.
Mm.
Pirin deals... that's a lot of ones. Pirin, you fool. Mm-hmm. 10. 22 points of damage.
Something. Yeah, we're whittling him down. It stresses me immensely. I'm on 12 health.
Mm. Have you seen any ghosts?
I don't even listen to him.
It's Ludmilla's turn.
Okay, fuck.
Oh, sorry. I meant to do this. Well, actually, I can do it before her turn begins, actually. Mm. Whoa, whoomp, you get thrown away again. Yeah, you fail. Mm. You fly back to where you hit the impression of the spot you were last time. Ludmilla, screaming, launches herself across the table at you, Pip.
Oh, fuck. Mm. Oh, fuck.
So, Ludmilla decides that you are a infinitely easier target. Oh, and she regenerates health.
Oh, fuck. Come on, man.
She decides that you are a infinitely easier target. She claw attacks you. One of her claws bites down deep into your shoulder, Pip. You take...
Let's see how much damage it is.
Oh, ouchie mama. You take 11 points of damage.
Hey, miss me. You know what? Yeah. Erica, that's fine. Yeah, I ignore all damage from this attack.
Okay.
I'll die. Okay. That's me dead.
I would have, because you're on 12.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd be one. Foolish, I would have waited, but that's just personally.
You foolish, see? Foolish.
No, but is the attack, this may be my misunderstanding of the card. Does the attack mean this round of her attacking me, or just the claw attack?
What does the card say?
It says you ignore damage from one attack.
One attack?
You know what, fuck that then. No, because I assumed it was everything.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll
let you get away with this one. You're on one hit point.
Now you use it.
Now I use it when I'm attacked.
She deftly swings around using her claw embedded in your shoulder as leverage. She deftly swings around, grabs you from behind, pulls you in close. Chunk! She bites down into your neck. You will take a D6 piercing. Plus 3. You take 8 points of piercing. Everything goes dark.
Now you can ignore the damage.
Yeah. Do I use that, though, which might come in handy for someone else, or do I use one of these?
Clever boy.
Let's go back from the dead. No, I didn't die, though. Let's go not dead yet. If damage would reduce you to 0 hit points, you fall to 1 hit point instead.
Okay.
Yeah,
sure.
I'll use that.
Well, you're on 1 hit point, so you don't actually lose anything.
Yeah, yes.
As she sinks her fangs into you, miraculously, despite the fact that she's siphoning blood out of you at, let's say, about a liter a minute.
Whoa, that's a lot. Okay.
She does not drain you of enough blood for you to lose consciousness. You also take 10 points of necrotic damage.
Oh.
Now, this is part of that.
Okay,
so
cool.
Still only reduce to 1 hit point, but it does still reduce your maximum hit points by the same amount. Okay. So your maximum hit points are now 66.
Jesus Christ. Oh, God. I don't want to become a vampire.
Don't worry. I think I'll just drain you dry.
Oh, that's
she
so much worse.
She recovers 10 hit points.
Okay, fuck. Okay. Fucking awesome.
Pip, You feel the edges of your vision begin curling in. You realize you're dying. It's John Cavendish's turn. John Cavendish rushes in. Whoa, whoom! John Cavendish flies clear out of the room.
God damn it.
He hits the back wall, then getting up, he screaming charges in again, but he can't get to you in time,
unfortunately. Too far away. That's okay, that's okay.
It is the Burgermaster's turn. She wants to kill Ludmilla, so she's going to help, but not in the way you'd like.
Oh, no.
The Burgermaster shoots straight through Ludmilla and you, Pip. Mm-hmm. The bolt keeps going and hits you a second time, Hector. Neither of you, though, take damage. Yeah. It's only Ludmilla. She passes.
Fucking hell. This is a tough fight.
And then it is, that was the Burgermaster. Pip, it's your turn.
Okay, can I push myself away from Ludmilla?
That will be a check. Okay. And it'll count as your action if you want to try that.
Hey, here I am. A point blank range doesn't give me any negatives. I know where she is too. Mm-hmm. So I will plug my crossbow, Durax crossbow, into her guts, flip it to fire, and then plug twice with precise shot so I get advantage.
First attack miss.
Damn it.
Second attack hit.
Okay, fuck. Whatever, I'll take it. It'll scare her away.
You deal 8. Oh, the fire damage doesn't hurt her. Yeah, you deal 8 points of damage.
Still.
Oh, no, wait, it's a magical weapon. Oh, thank God. Thank God. The second the bolt hits her, she screaming lets go of you. She's got you see, she's invisible still.
Yeah.
But covered in fairy fire, and all down her front is your blood. She is furious. You, if you could see her eyes, you would see burning pits of hatred. And was there anything else, Pip?
Bonus action, I'll hunt as marker. A thing I forget I can do all the time.
Okay. So, Sorry.
It's all good.
I mean, it's the automaton's turn.
Yeah.
Ludmilla analyzes everyone in the room. You need to make an intelligence saving throw.
Uh-oh.
Heck, you pass. Pip, that's a nat 1.
Fuck.
The Burgermaster passes. Cavendish passes. This is so funny.
It's just me.
Piran got a nat 20. It's just me.
That's fine.
Pip, you feel as if you have no secrets with Ludmilla.
That's a bad feeling. That's a bad feeling.
Pip, the general.
Yeah?
Kill him. The automatons attack. They have advantage.
Well, this is me, boys. This might be me.
Hit.
Oof.
Hit.
Oof.
Oh, wait. You're on 1 hit point.
Yeah, I'm gone.
Yeah.
Yep. That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It's all right.
That's okay.